So good to see each and every one of you this morning. And I do want to say that the PowerPoint is in the YouVersion in the Bible app if you are interested in the slides that I have that come forward, because we definitely, I think there's one section that you may be interested in particular called Romans Road. So this morning we're going to talk about Article 6, Salvation by Grace Through Faith. Just picture with me a father, late 50s, early 60s, and he walks out every day to the road that leads into his farm. And there's a stone there that he sits on. Matter of fact, he sits there so much that it's starting to wear in where he sits. And his wife brings him coffee and food as he just sits there and stares down that road. As he stares down the road, he keeps replaying in his mind when his son came and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance now. Before you die, I just want it now. I'm going to go on my own way. I'm tired of you, I'm tired of this family, I'm tired of this town, I'm going on." And he thinks about that conversation as he gave him the money and he left. And as he saw him walk down that road, and as those who traveled to his farm shared stories of what he heard his son was doing with that money, things that he would never dream that his son would do. And then he heard stories of that a famine hit. His money had ran out, and now he was working for a pig farmer and just starving himself to death. And he just kept praying, "God, bring him home." And then one day, he noticed on that path somebody who resembled his son but didn't look like him at all because he had lost so much weight. He was almost disfigured. And as he got closer, his heart beat heavier and harder, and he realized it was his son. He got up, ran after him, and as he embraced his son said, "Dad, I just want to say I'm sorry." And he's like, you could just hear him yelling, "Yes, he's home! Get him a robe, get him a ring, get the fatted calf, kill him, we're partying! My son is back home!" I often wonder, if you are a movie buff, you know that a lot of times when they have a good first movie, there's a sequel, and then the sequel brings a trilogy, right? Well, I kind of feel like we've gone through that with when we first started with Mankind and Sin, right? We talked about how we can deceive ourselves to justify our sins. And we can live in that mud because we can constantly say, no, we can justify this sin, and we live in the mud. And then last week we talked about Jesus and the glory, the honor, what it means to have salvation in him and how he brings us out of that mud. And today we talk about salvation by grace through faith. And as we talk about, here we have this prodigal son. What did it look like after that moment? Well, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Now these are three simple verses, and I think we almost can repeat them. We know them. But I'm going to be honest. It truly is hard to live them out in the context of our human nature and here in America. Why would I say that? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, page 1058 for the Bibles that are in the pew. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we now proceed to worship you in your word, and as the youth will come and share with us, Lord, I pray that as we proceed, when we look to your word, that we would allow it to stir our hearts. I always pray that it would pierce our hearts and minds. I pray this morning it stirs within us the truth of what your word says. That we allow ourselves to be convicted of our cold steel hearts. And allow your Holy Spirit to move within us. And what it truly means to receive your grace, your gift of salvation. And to live that out by faith. So, Lord, I pray that any words that come from me would fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor, but the word, your word, would pierce and our hearts and minds, but stir within us too. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, the first word we have is grace. And we know grace to mean undeserved favor. We love this word, but I can tell you right now, I'm going to say something, and I've said this before, that'll make you realize that you struggle with grace. Christmas is coming. And what if somebody comes to you unexpected that you weren't anticipating and they give you a gift? What's the first thing you think? For me, what do I have back home that I haven't opened that I could repackage and give to them as a gift back? Because I got to give them back something, right? To get a gift to just say, thank you. Because we're caught in this mindset that we have to do something to earn and that we would exchange and to just receive something. But this is what we're talking about. God giving us undeserved favor, salvation by grace through faith. Now, faith, what is faith? Well, faith is a belief in life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that a person's life is shaped by those beliefs. Our lives are shaped by the very fact of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Here's where we go off the rails with this salvation and grace. This is pretty much what we can kind of hear in the American church. And it's not just American church. I hear it from people. And I'm going to tell you right up front, this is a lie straight from the pit of hell, from Satan himself. Here's the story. A son said to his dad, I want to buy a car at the end of the summer. I'm 16. I got my license now. I want to buy a car. And dad said, great, go get a job. So he goes out and he starts working at yard work and doing all this yard work. And he saves up. And then he gets a night job at a hardware store stocking the shelves at night. And he keeps working and working. And he keeps saving up. His friends say, hey, you want to go play miniature golf with us? No, I'm saving my money. And rejects that. But then, well, his girlfriend, he needs to take her out once in a while so they stay in the relationship. And so he spends a little money there, but not much. And when he comes to the end of the summer, and he approaches his dad, and they look at his bank account, and he falls woefully short of the amount he needs for the car. And the dad says, son, that's okay. I'm going to take up and make up the difference and even give you a little extra so that you get even a better car than what you anticipated. Brothers and sisters, too bad. And unfortunately, that's how we see grace. And that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You've heard it said, God helps those who help themselves. That's a lie. God has given you the gift of salvation, grace. It's undeserved. We place our faith in Jesus Christ, and he's the one that is working through us. We are dead to our sins. We're dead in our sins. And we've got this mindset that we think, well, I just need to go a little bit further for this salvation by grace through faith. I do what I can, and then he makes up the difference. Let me be very clear, and I have a scripture to back up what I just said, and I know you're all going, clutching the pearls. It's okay. Isaiah says this. We all are infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags like autumn leaves. We wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. In that analogy, you'd be coming up to our bank account, and it's empty. It's empty. There is not a thing you and I can do. So really, before we proceed, we each have to ask ourselves this question. When it comes to experiencing God's grace, one must ask themselves, is it God-given or me-driven? Is it God-given or me-driven? Because there's a distinct difference. Because if it's God-given, I've died to myself. Me-driven, God has the same idea and will that I do. And Matthew 7 is a haunting verse for the people who are me-driven. Why do I say this? Romans Road. Let's just go down that path here. No one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. I think we too often can say, well, I haven't murdered, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. Brothers and sisters, the door is closed to the foyer. And I don't care if it's me standing here on the stage or the person standing right at that door is closed and none of us are in the foyer. All of us have sinned, and we cannot keep going with like we did with mankind and sin, justifying, well, this little sin, sin is sin. And what do we know about sin? For everyone sin, and we all fall short of the glory, short of God's glorious standard. It's that simple. It's that simple. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You can choose which path. You can choose who your master will be. What you cannot choose is the consequences of that. If you choose the wages of sin, it is death. And if you choose Christ, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. That's how we're brought into this right relationship. It has nothing to do with you or I and our good works. Where it comes to is this. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. It's simply that. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe the question then comes, my faith isn't that strong. Maybe my faith is weak. Again, it's not about me driven. It's God driven, given, God given. And my faith is simply to say, I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his salvation, his grace, as I place my faith in him, is all that I need, all that you need. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, a free and undeserved. It's time to put aside that me-driven mentality of the Christian faith. It is God-given. It's a free gift. And that grace changes us. Why do I say that? Salvation by grace through faith in the scripture we read goes on to say this. We're God's masterpiece. And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter, and we are formed by your hand. You know, Isaiah goes on and says that the clay says to the potter, who are you? You didn't create me right. You didn't do this right. But he's the one that is creating us. And I love this verse coming up. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. I just want to read from Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God, referring to this scripture. You do not become a Christian by asking Jesus into your heart. You become a Christian when you are born again. Jesus said in John 3:3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Saying a prayer or making a public commitment or signing some decision card or even signing the faith covenant, I'll add, does not save you. Only being born again will do that. The Apostle Paul said that when you are in Christ, the old things pass away. In the moment of your salvation, every sin you ever committed is forgiven. Think about that. Grace. Mercy. In that moment of your salvation, every sin you ever committed is forgiven. Healing for every hurt you have ever suffered is available. Love and acceptance are yours despite every failure you have ever experienced. Your past, no matter how difficult or painful, is completely and thoroughly provided for. Some will seek to diminish the awesome reality of your spiritual rebirth. You will hear them say, even though you are now a Christian, you must still undergo years of counseling to overcome the hurts you've experienced. Or you may be born again, but you'll continue to struggle with your sins, and hopefully you will eventually gain victory in areas of your weakness. The problem is that we seek changes by our own will rather than by turning our lives over in faith to the one who has given us new life. The profound testimony of Scripture is that the blood of Jesus Christ and the death of His Son are sufficient to completely free you from your sins. Satan will seek to convince you otherwise. Whom do you believe? When we struggle with it too many times, what's happening is it's back to the me-driven grace instead of God-given. But by the grace of God, I am who I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them through it, though it is not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So, wait a minute, you just said it's not me-driven, and yet Apostle Paul's talking about hard work, but what is he saying? God's grace is continually changing him, and what he's doing and the work he's doing is because of the grace. Let me give you a mental image of this. A blacksmith taking that cold, hard steel and plunging it into the fire and pulling it out and hitting it with the hammer, forming it into the tool he needs. For us, brothers and sisters, as we continue to read God's word and prayer, the Holy Spirit, the consuming fire, our lives are plunged into that fire and it is brought back out, and God, with the hammer of grace, pounding on our cold steel hearts that have been heated by the Holy Spirit, by His word, and through prayer, and forming it into a tool to be used for His kingdom and His hand. I ask you, is your life being lived out by grace given by God, or are you trying to me drive it? Are you dead to yourself, or is Christ living in you? Are you truly experiencing the grace that He has for you? Because Paul said each time, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. This was what God told Paul when he was struggling with whatever his weakness was. I've read many times, many scholars think that if you look at Paul's list of things he went through, where he was stoned and left dead, shipwrecked, diseased, everything, probably some kind of physical ailment that was his weakness. And he said, if you could just take this away. And he says, no. In your weakness, my grace, whatever your weakness, whatever your struggle is, are you allowing God's grace to be the power that you need to hammer through so that you can be the tool he can use in his hands for his kingdom? God's masterpiece, salvation by grace through faith. A question I asked you when we first started in mankind and sin was this: do people see the impact of God's grace in your life? You see, we experience this amazing grace. And you know that sequel that I was talking about, the prodigal son? That's you and me as we live out our lives, that they see that grace. We're the prodigal son. How do people see that sequel played out? With that, let's stand as we pray. Ryan and Zach, if you could come forward to lead us in amazing grace, and then the youth will move to your part. Let's just stand. Heavenly Father, right now I just want to lift up the congregation before you, those who are within the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that we would allow ourselves to allow your Spirit to search us. And Lord, that we would repent of the times that we have tried to drive and do and work out our grace, and then you meet the rest where we come up short. No, Lord, may we realize that everything we do on our own is but filthy rags and death. But Lord, may we accept your beautiful gift of grace and mercy, that we experience your salvation because of your Son, Jesus. I pray if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that's never experienced a newness of life, would say yes to your Son, Jesus, now. And for all of us, that we'd be recommitted to what it means to live out and experience your grace. May we let it be a hammer as the consuming fire of the Holy Spirit melts our hard, cold steel hearts, and allow your hammer of grace hammer out, that we might be a tool for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Gentlemen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Every night there by your bed, you fold your hands and bow your head, throwing out another prayer in faith. When you're wondering if he's hearing you, look at me, I'm living proof. I'm only right where I am today because somebody prayed. So I hit my knees 'cause I seen all heaven move. I pray, Father, please, 'cause I've seen what he can do. These hands have no power, but there ain't an hour he don't come through. That's why when mountains looks like somebody prayed. For the child of God is far from home, the one who thinks they're too far gone. I'm throwing out another prayer in faith. Worn out altars, tear-stained pews, still I won't give up on you. I believe that anything can change when somebody prays. Somebody prayed. I've seen miracles come from feeble words. I've seen hospital rooms turned into cathedrals. I've seen freedom come to the prisoner. You can't tell me that prayer don't work. So every night there by your bed, when you fold your hands and bow your head, not a single word you've ever said in vain, 'cause he hears everything. So I hit my knees, 'cause I've seen all heaven move.
My God, pick you up when you come.
Pray, Father, please, 'cause I've seen what he can do.
My God, come through when you come.
These hands have no power, but they ain't an eye, he don't come through. That's why when mountains move, I say, looks like somebody prayed.
Had a lot of fun. We laughed a lot on our trip. We made a lot of good memories. Our trip started driving down to Georgia to split the distance to Florida, and we stayed at an Airbnb for a couple days. We went to a water park, and we pranked each other a lot in the Airbnb, like the rubber band on the sink to soak Kristen. We played sardines, and Mitch and Jeremiah were the winners of that overall. We played some volleyball, and we don't have very good Mennonite volleyball skills, but it was still fun. The one night, Kristen hid under the bed in the girls' room for like 2 hours and heard all of our secrets, but it's okay. Anyway, so then after that, we drove down to Florida. The way down was pretty chaotic. We did a lot of singing. We wrote a song. What happens in that van stays in the van, though, so can't share that. We pulled a lot of jokes on the MDS leaders down there, and they were really cool. We bonded with them. They ended up thinking Liz and Kristen were our moms. I don't really know if they found out by the end of the week or not, but that's okay. The one day, poor Rhiannon, lost her phone, and Paisley took a piece of corner bead to search through the porta potty with, but it wasn't found in the end. During the evenings, we went to the beach a couple times. We walked to the stores nearby. Brooklyn got pushed in a shopping cart the whole way there, the one night by Tayton. There were some wrestling matches that went on. We bought a game called Uno Teams, and Joel and Jeremiah were the winners of that. They had some twin telepathy going on. Doc, you might want to talk to them. There might have been some cheating going on. I don't know. But anyway, some of them bought some Legos, and we did Legos in the evening and hung out. We had some good late-night talks. Some of them were deep. Some of them were just funny conversations. Paisley and Alyssa worked on their gymnastics, and Paisley has a scar to prove that. But on a more serious note, when we were at the Airbnb, Ryan gave us a verse to focus on throughout the week, which was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And that reminded us to give our anxieties to God and to be grateful, to think about how he's blessed us and to know that he guards our hearts and minds. So that was a good focal point for the week. especially while we were working. And all of us youth gave a devotion one morning or evening on the trip. It could be focused on the verse, or it could just be on anything that we wanted to talk about. But that was a cool thing to keep us more focused on God, too, throughout our work. It was cool that we got to meet some homeowners, also, of the houses we were working on, to show our joy of the Lord and show who was serving and why we were doing it. And I also want to thank our youth leaders for taking us down on the trip and giving all of their time up for us and just showing us a good example. Rhiannon.
Hey, guys. So about some of the projects that we did, we mainly worked at two sites throughout the week. And a lot of us went down there not knowing a whole lot about like construction or like all that kind of stuff. So we learned how to use a lot of like tools and equipment that we use to help build up those houses or whatever we're supposed to do. We waterproofed a lot of showers. We installed cabinets. We painted. We installed trim. We did all sorts of stuff. In the other house, we ripped up the flooring, the subflooring, replaced everything. Finishing touches, we installed more drywall and just mudded all that. At the other site, some of us learned what a fraction of an inch was that week. So that was a fun lesson to learn. But overall, I think we definitely learned how to communicate with not just each other to get the job done, but we also learned how to communicate with the homeowners to be there for them. Since a lot of their homes were destroyed or they faced damages, we were able to communicate with them, stop our job, talk to them, and just really make a connection with them throughout the week.
Well, I just wanted to say we had a good trip. I'm really proud of each and every one of these kids that went along. Some of you have been on MDS trips. I know because I'm seeing you guys out here. And it's just amazing how a week can sort of change your perspective on your life and how that trip can be a memory that you carry with you. Just a couple things about MDS. We've been working with them for many years now. But basically, they organize all the activity that we do when we get there. One thing I really appreciate about them is how organized they are. So when we get there on Sunday evening, they have all of our meals planned. They have all of the work lined up. They have crew leaders that are supporting us and helping us get the work done. So we really appreciate their organization. Another part of MDS that I really appreciate is their focus on kingdom work. They have no problem partnering with whoever is available at the disaster site to get the work done, whether that's another charity, another denomination, another resource. They do a great job of just circling the wagons and saying, this is all for the kingdom. How can we be a part of that work being done? And we had people from the United Way come and share. We had people from the Red Cross come and share, just talking about how they are partnering with MDS to try to provide some finances in certain areas. So I really appreciate that about MDS. I want to thank you guys as a church for allowing us as a youth and youth leaders to go on these trips. It takes a good deal of financial support to do that, and I thank you for your support with our potato bars and our other fundraisers that we do. So thank you guys for that. And once again, thank you for the youth for all the hard work that they did. So thank you.
And I think we should thank the youth advisors for still being sane when they came back. VeggieTales is alive and well. Thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. I just want to close again with the scripture we started, Ephesians 3:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The youth group didn't go to gain salvation. They went because they went out of the salvation and the victory and the grace that they received from God to do these things. I just challenge you this morning. Are you experiencing God's grace, and can people see it? And when you do the things you do, is it because you're trying, or are you allowing God to work through you because you are his masterpiece and he has plans and a purpose for each one of you? Don't let it slip away, for the days we know are evil. Stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the youth group, and I thank you for their willingness to serve in this capacity. Lord, it sounds like it was a lot of fun, which it should be. I think too many times we think that this faith means that we need to walk around somber and just miserable. In fact, we should have a joy. There should be a laughter as we look at this world and realize how temporary it is. And the chaos and the darkness, we have a light that shines through us. I pray the world would see that. And they would see that we experience a peace because we have your grace and mercy. And the reason we have your grace and mercy is because of your son, Jesus, who died on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins, and was raised on the third day. We are brought into that relationship, that right relationship with you. And because of that blood, we can come to your throne to receive that grace. I pray that we would allow that grace to continue to work in our lives, as Apostle Paul said, talking about the power of that grace and how it shapes our lives. May this be seen in how we go about our day going forth from here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and attention. Go and love peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.